Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to another week at Buchanan Alliance Church. We are delighted and excited that you are joining us today for this message. At Buchanan Alliance Church, it is our ultimate goal to live and love like Jesus. And that's only possible as Jesus is living and loving in us and through us. Today's message, we are taking from Mark chapter 15, verses 21 through 40, and we're going to look at the crucifixion. But the primary thing we're going to be looking at is Jesus' statement, "Why, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And so if you have your Bibles, please turn to Mark 15, and we'll be reading verses 21 through 40. As you're turning there, today is also Communion Sunday, and so we will be observing communion at the end of our time together. So, as we look at Mark 15, beginning in verse 21, I will be reading it from the New International Version. "A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him, dividing up his clothes. They cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, 'The King of the Jews.' They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, 'So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself.' In the same way, the chief priests and teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. 'He saved others,' they said, 'but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down from the cross that we may see and believe.' Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of those standing near heard this, they said, 'Listen, he's calling Elijah.' One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, and put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. 'Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down,' he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, 'Surely this man was the Son of God.' Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and Joses, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there." May the word of the Lord reap a harvest of righteousness in each one of us. We could spend a year of Sundays on this passage. Today, we're going to just focus on one primary aspect, one thing that Jesus said, and that is, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," and being translated into English, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Clearly, Jesus is quoting Psalm 22, verse 1. And yes, that psalm begins about the feeling or the sensation that God has forsaken us. But Psalm 22 ends with praise that God is with us and God will be victorious. Personally, I believe that this was the most painful part of the crucifixion for Jesus. Do you remember a while ago I taught about the word perichoresis? And many theologians believe that perichoresis is the word to describe the Trinity's eternal dance of love and intimacy. To help illustrate this, one of my wife's favorite movies was White Christmas. And in that movie, I had to watch it every year for years and years and years. Danny Kaye did a musical number about choreography where he made all kinds of fun of things. And he compared, we used to dance, now it's choreography. If you remember that scene in White Christmas, the root of choreography is perichoresis, is the Greek word perichoresis. It's related to the Trinity's eternal dance of love and intimacy. And we could spend a lot of time here, but basically, God is a God of love. He always has been, because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit loved on each other, and they invite us to be a part of that wonderful intimacy of love. Now, the question I'd like us to focus on, why was perichoresis broken? What does the scripture actually teach us about that? Well, I've identified five passages of scripture, one from the Old Testament, four from the New Testament, and each different authors. So in Isaiah 53, verse 6, we read this, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And the Lord has laid on the Messiah the iniquity of us all. See, God had a plan. He put our sin, our iniquity on Jesus, on the Messiah. And then in John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist says this. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So John the Baptist and John acknowledge Jesus is the one who takes away the sin of the world. And then Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So Paul acknowledges that our sins were placed on Jesus, and we now have become the righteousness of God. Jesus imparted his righteousness to us, is what the scripture teaches us. And then in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews in chapter 9, verse 28, "So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." So the author of Hebrews says it as well. And then Peter says it in 1 Peter 2:24. "He himself bore our sins." Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. "By his wounds you have been healed." Both the Old and New Testament declare that my sin, your sin, all of humanity's sin was placed upon Jesus. And now let me clarify something. Over the years, I've been in Alliance churches and I've been in churches all of my life. And I've heard so many messages on this. The reality is, it is not that God is unable to look on sin. Just two brief examples. In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve sin, and God is there looking for them. "Where are you guys? Where are you?" And then he talks with them. God, it's not true. God can look on sin. And then in Job chapter 1, where literally Satan presents himself to God, and the whole thing goes on about Job. They're in, you know, Job and what's going to happen with Job. And Satan says, you know, let me have Job. If I touch Job, he will curse you. And God says, go for it, but you can't take his life. And then Satan presents himself a second time to God. So it's just not true. God is able to look on sin. He can do that. We cannot look on him, but he cannot look on us. And that's a whole nother message. So, Jesus' great agony, this is my personal opinion, I think Jesus' greatest agony was due to the fact that his eternal intimacy with God was temporarily broken by sin. Yes, Jesus is the perfect advocate for us. He's the perfect high priest. He's the perfect mediator between God and man. Because yes, Jesus knows what it feels like to be out of intimate fellowship with God the Father. Jesus understands. He was there because God's wrath and our sin was placed upon him. God's wrath concerning our sin was placed on Jesus. The technical term from that is propitiation. God's wrath was poured out on Jesus. And again, Scripture says in 1 John 2, 1 and 2, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." And then he goes on to say, Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. That atoning sacrifice there, the Greek word there is elasmos, which is most translated, best translated, propitiation. There are two aspects of the atoning work of Jesus on the cross. And remember, atonement, if you break it down, at one-ment, we were alienated from God because of Adam and Eve's sin. But Jesus' death, burial, and glorious resurrection on the cross, his finished work on the cross brought us back together. That's the atoning work of God. And the two aspects, the two primary aspects of atonement are propitiation and expiation, two vital words for us to understand. And I just want to take a couple minutes to unpack that a little bit. Propitiation means God's wrath was poured out on Jesus. And you know, I've read books recently, you know, just lies from the pit that talk about God. How could a loving father pour out his wrath on his son? Well, it's because he loved us so much. God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Just think about it. Every parent knows if you have more than one child and one of your kids does something to the other, do you not get angry? Are you not disturbed by that? A loving, holy God must deal with sin. And he did. Sin is serious. God's wrath, God's anger over sin was poured out on Jesus. All of it was poured out on Jesus so that it's not poured out on us. And then the second part is expiation. Our sin is covered over with Christ's righteousness. This is so, so important. God is no longer angry. If we go back into the garden, in fact, the next slide says, because of Jesus, we do not need to run and hide like Adam and Eve. If we look at Genesis chapter 3, this passage is so critical and so important. In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve give in to temptation. And what's the basic temptation? It's you don't need God. Just eat the fruit and you'll become like God. You don't need him. Take the shortcut. Take the easy way. Eat the fruit and you'll become like God. And unfortunately, they ate the fruit. And let's not be so hard on them, because I believe that each one of us would probably do the same thing. We might have even done it even sooner. Let's be honest. Hey, we in fact, today, if we're really honest, we'll realize that we continue to eat the fruit. We continue to choose sin over Jesus. And so then, when God finds them, he's looking for them. In the garden, he knew exactly where they were, but he asks and calls out to them. And then he asks Adam, what's wrong? Why are you hiding? And he says, I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. You see, I was afraid. See, perfect love casts out all fear. Because of Jesus' finished work on the cross, there is nothing to fear anymore. There is no wrath of God because God's wrath was poured out on Jesus. I apologize for that. I get so excited about this. This is such good news. God's wrath was poured out on Jesus. And then what happened next? It says that God covered their nakedness. It's the first example of expiation. You know, because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, because his atoning work on the cross, we are covered over so that when the Father looks at us, he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. See, there's no need to run and hide like Adam and Eve did. We can run to Jesus. We can run to Jesus. And let me just talk, we're going to celebrate communion in a few moments. The ABCs of the good news of Jesus. You see, Jesus is saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Are you listening to this? Are you weary and burdened? Jesus' invitation is to come to him. And if you do not know Jesus, the first step, I call this the ABCs of the gospel. A, admit, I'm a sinner, and repent. See, a repentant sinner can receive forgiveness, mercy, love, and grace. I know some people who act like and live like they're professional victims. It's never their fault. They never own anything. It's always someone else's fault. It's always someone else. And so actually that person can't repent because they don't see that they've done anything wrong. It is so critical. The first step, admit, I am a sinner. I sinned. And then to turn from that sin and to turn to Jesus. You see, a repentant sinner can receive forgiveness, mercy, love, and grace. It's such good news. It is good news. And then where do you turn to? You turn to Jesus. You put all of your trust in Jesus only. You believe that Jesus died on the cross once and for all sin. And you thank Jesus. You put your trust in Jesus. And then C is you confess Jesus as Savior and Lord. You tell others about it. And one verse that I really love is Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And if you're looking at this slide, I hope you've downloaded the slides and you're following along with the slides. See, the wages of sin is death. Adam and Eve chose to do it their way, and we choose to do it our way. But God in his love, the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God offers us a gift. He offers us the gift of eternal life, but it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's putting our trust in Jesus. And so if you look at that bridge illustration, where are you? Are you on the bridge of Jesus, or are you stuck there in your own wages, the wages of sin and death? Because the result, and man will always try. You can try all kinds of things. You can try to be better. You can try to be good. You can tell yourself 1,000 times, I'll never do this again. Then what happens? You find yourself doing it again. The only solution is God's solution, God's gift. But that gift must be received. We must receive the gift. It's just not enough to know about the gift. You know, today actually is my mom's birthday, and I went and visited her and gave her a card and love and gifts of love. And the reality is she has to receive it. It's not enough for me to just offer love. She has to receive it. In the same way, the wages of our sin is death. The result of our sin is death. Death. We die in our sins and we're separated from God. And the Bible calls that hell, eternal suffering and torment because we're separated from the love of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through the finished work of Jesus Christ. I hope that you know Jesus and you've received the gift that Jesus is offering to you. And now, let's just pray. And if you've never prayed a prayer, I ask that you would just join me and follow along in this prayer. If you want what Jesus is offering, if you want this gift, just pray and ask. That's all it is. God is only a prayer away. Dear Father in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I sin so often. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I put my faith and trust in Jesus only. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. He paid my sin debt. And I ask Jesus, please, Please forgive me. Please come into my life. Please be my Savior and my Lord. In your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. And now, let's just spend a moment in silent prayer, waiting on the Lord. Dear Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your finished work on the cross. Thank you that your atoning work, both propitiation, God's wrath was poured out on you so he's no longer angry, and you cover over our sin. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just like Adam and Eve's nakedness was covered over, God covered it over. Please, thank you, thank you, thank you. And as we partake of communion, as we remember your sacrifice, may it be a special time of intimacy with you. And so, as we celebrate communion together, if you have not done so, please just pause this recording and go and grab some bread and some juice, and let's partake together. But before we do, Father in heaven, I ask that you would bless this bread and bless this cup just as you did long ago. The scripture teaches Jesus looked heavenward and gave thanks and asked that you bless the cup and bless the bread. In the same way, bless this bread and bless this cup. May we have a wonderful time of intimacy with you. And then Jesus said, as he took the bread, he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Eat all of it in remembrance of me. Let us partake of the bread together." And then the scripture says, after the meal, our Lord then took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the blood of the new covenant. Drink it in remembrance of me." Let us remember the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let us partake together. Dear Father in heaven, please seal to our hearts the tremendous significance of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. And now, the kind of food for thought, the table talk, I would encourage you to follow up and ask whoever you're with to talk about these questions. In your own words, what is the significance of Jesus' words, my God, why have you forsaken me? What is the significance of Psalm 22, the ending with praise unto God? Why is that significant? What do you think of Jeff's idea that the breaking of eternal perichoresis was the most painful aspect of Jesus' crucifixion? What do you think about that? And it's okay to disagree with me. I think it is. From the scriptures that Jeff read, is there any doubt that our sin was placed upon Jesus? In your own words, why are both aspects of Jesus' atoning work on the cross, propitiation and expiation, why are they so important? Why did Adam and Eve hide? Why can we run to Jesus? In your own words, why is the gospel of Jesus such good news? And also, in your own words, why is admitting that you are a sinner such good news? Why is it good news to do that? And then finally, overall, just share what the Holy Spirit impressed upon you during our time together. And that might be slightly different for each one of us. And now please receive this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord turn his face toward you and be gracious unto you. The Lord cast his eyes upon you and grant you his peace. And in the New Testament, we're told that we are the salt of the earth. And so you are commissioned to be salt and light in this world. May Jesus be in you and flow through you. May others see Christ in you and be drawn to Jesus, all for his glory. In Jesus' name, I pronounce this benediction over you. And all in agreement said, amen. Blessings upon you. Have a great week.